For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Over the years, my friends and I explored countless trails and camped in some pretty remote places. But there's one trip we took that none of us will ever forget. A weekend in a cabin deep in the woods that we found through some obscure online listing. It was supposed to be a fun getaway, a chance to disconnect from the world and enjoy nature. Instead, it became a nightmare that still haunts us to this day. The plan was simple: drive out to this old cabin we'd rented for next to nothing, spend the weekend hiking, cooking over a campfire, and maybe telling a few ghost stories around the fire. The listing had described the cabin as rustic and secluded, which was exactly what we were looking for, a place to escape the grind of our daily lives. We set out early on Friday, the five of us crammed into Aaron's old SUV, laughing and joking as we drove deeper into the countryside. The road wound through small towns and farmlands, then narrowed as we entered the woods, the trees closing in around us like a tunnel. The farther we went, the fewer signs of civilization we saw. No houses, no power lines, just miles of dense forest. The GPS struggled to keep up, the signal fading out as we ventured further off the beaten path. By the time we reached the cabin, the sun was beginning to set, casting long shadows across the clearing where the cabin stood. It was an old, weathered structure with peeling paint and a sagging porch. The windows were dark, and the whole place had an air of abandonment, like it hadn't seen visitors in years. I remember feeling a shiver run down my spine as I stepped out of the car, though I quickly brushed it off as just a reaction to the sudden drop in temperature. "Looks cozy," Aaron joked, though I could hear the uncertainty in his voice. We all laughed, but it was a nervous kind of laughter, the kind you use to cover up unease. There was something about the cabin that felt off. But none of us wanted to be the one to back out, so we grabbed our bags and headed inside. The interior was just as rundown as the outside. Dusty furniture, creaky floorboards, and a musty smell that hung in the air. The kitchen was small, with outdated appliances and a sink that looked like it hadn't been used in years. The living room had a few old, mismatched chairs and a threadbare couch, all facing a stone fireplace that dominated one wall. A wooden staircase led up to a loft where there were a couple of small bedrooms. As we unpacked, I couldn't shake the feeling that we were intruding, like we weren't supposed to be there. The place was eerily quiet, the kind of silence that presses in on you, making every little noise seem louder than it should be. But I didn't say anything, chalking it up to nerves and the unfamiliar setting. We spent the first evening trying to get settled in. Aaron and I got a fire going in the fireplace while the others unpacked and set up the kitchen. We made hot dogs and beans for dinner, the kind of meal that tastes better when you're out in the woods. We ate around the fireplace, the crackling flames the only sound in the cabin. The conversation was light, but there was an underlying tension that none of us wanted to acknowledge. After dinner, we decided to explore the area around the cabin before it got too dark. The woods were dense and overgrown, the trees tall and close together, blocking out most of the remaining light. We wandered around for a while, talking about how we should go hiking the next day, maybe even try to find a stream we could fish in. But as we moved deeper into the woods, that feeling of unease started to creep back in. The trees seemed to press in on us, the shadows growing longer and darker with every step. Eventually, we stumbled upon a small clearing, where we found something that made us all stop in our tracks. A cluster of old gravestones, half buried in the earth, their inscriptions worn away by time. There were no signs of any buildings or paths nearby, just these forgotten graves in the middle of the woods. It was unsettling, to say the least, but we tried to laugh it off. "Guess we know why the cabin was so cheap," Sarah said, her voice a little too high-pitched. "Yeah," I replied, forcing a smile. "Nothing like a graveyard to keep the rent low." We didn't stay long after that. The sun had set, and the darkness was closing in fast. We made our way back to the cabin, trying to ignore the growing sense of dread that seemed to follow us through the trees. Back at the cabin, we tried to shake off the unease by playing cards and telling stories, but the atmosphere had changed. The firelight cast flickering shadows on the walls, making the old furniture look even more decrepit. Every creak of the floorboards, every gust of wind outside made us jumpy, our nerves on edge. It felt like the cabin was watching us. At some point, we heard it, a faint noise coming from outside, like someone, or something, was moving around the cabin. It was a soft...
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Oft, shuffling sound, almost like footsteps on the dirt. We all froze, the cards forgotten, our eyes darting to the windows. "Did you hear that?" I whispered, my heart pounding in my chest. Mark nodded, his face pale in the firelight. "Yeah, maybe it's just an animal?" None of us believed that. The sound was too deliberate, too slow, to be an animal. It circled the cabin, pausing every so often, then continuing. The silence inside was suffocating, broken only by the crackling of the fire. "Maybe we should check it out," Mike suggested, though his voice lacked conviction. "No way," Sarah shot back. "We should stay inside. Whatever it is, it'll go away." But the sound didn't go away. It continued, methodically circling the cabin, getting more distinct. It was as if whoever or whatever was outside wanted us to know it was there, wanted us to be afraid. I grabbed a flashlight and stood up. "I'm going to see what it is," I said, trying to sound braver than I felt. Aaron joined me, and together we approached the front door. The others stayed by the fireplace, their faces tense with fear. The air inside the cabin was thick with tension. The only sound, the relentless footsteps outside. We opened the door slowly, the hinges groaning in protest. The cold night air hit us like a wall, and the darkness outside seemed impenetrable. I shone the flashlight around, the beam sweeping across the trees, the porch, the dirt path leading to the woods, but there was nothing, no sign of anyone or anything. Mark and I exchanged a nervous glance, then stepped outside, the gravel crunching under our feet. The sound had stopped, but the silence was even more unnerving. We walked around the cabin, the flashlight casting long, eerie shadows, but there was nothing there. No footprints, no signs of disturbance, just the endless darkness of the woods. We went back inside, trying to convince ourselves that it was nothing, just our imaginations playing tricks on us. But deep down, we knew something was wrong. The atmosphere in the cabin had shifted, the air thick with an unspoken fear. We sat by the fire for a while longer, trying to act normal, but the tension was unbearable. Eventually, we decided to call it a night, hoping that sleep would take away the unease. We all agreed to sleep in the living room, not wanting to be alone in the small, dark bedrooms upstairs. We set up our sleeping bags around the fireplace, the flickering flames providing the only light in the room. But sleep didn't come easily. I lay there, listening to the creaks and groans of the old cabin. Every little noise made my heart race, my mind conjuring images of shadows moving just beyond the firelight. I could tell the others were awake too, their breathing quick and shallow, their bodies tense. Then, just as I was starting to drift off, I heard it again, the sound of footsteps, this time coming from above us, in the loft. The sound was unmistakable, slow, deliberate footsteps, moving across the wooden floor above us. My heart stopped, my breath catching in my throat. I glanced at Aaron, who was wide-eyed, staring up at the ceiling. "Someone's up there," he whispered, his voice barely audible. I didn't respond, too terrified to speak. The footsteps continued, pacing back and forth, as if whoever was up there was searching for something. The floorboards creaked under the weight, the sound loud in the silence of the night. We were paralyzed with fear, too scared to move, too scared to even breathe. The footsteps moved to the top of the stairs, then stopped. For a moment, there was nothing, just the crackling of the fire and our own panicked breathing. Then, slowly, the footsteps began to descend the stairs. I don't know what came over me, but in that moment, I knew we had to get out. I jumped to my feet, my heart racing, and grabbed the flashlight. "We need to leave. Now," I said, my voice shaking. The others didn't need convincing. We scrambled to gather our things, our movements frantic and uncoordinated. The footsteps continued down the stairs, growing closer with every second. We didn't wait to see who or what was coming. We bolted for the door, bursting out into the cold night air. We ran to the car, not daring to look back. Aaron fumbled with the keys, his hands shaking, but finally managed to get the door open. We piled in, slamming the doors behind us. The engine roared to life, and we sped down the gravel path, the cabin disappearing into the darkness behind us. We didn't stop until we were miles away. No one spoke, the fear still fresh in our minds. It wasn't until we reached the main road that Aaron finally broke the silence. "What the hell was that?" he asked, his voice trembling. "I don't know," I replied, my heart still pounding, "but I'm not going back to find out." None of us slept that night. We found a cheap motel in the nearest town and huddled together trying to make sense of what had happened. But there were no answers, only the lingering fear and the memory of those footsteps coming down the stairs. There's something about being out on the water that's both calming and unnerving. The vast expanse of a lake, the isolation, the way sound carries across the still surface. It's the kind of place where you can feel both completely free and utterly exposed. I love fishing, especially on remote lakes where it feels like the rest of the world doesn't exist. But after what happened on that lake a few summers ago, I can't shake the feeling that some places are better left alone. It was at the tail end of summer, and my friend Mark and I decided to take a trip up to a lake we'd heard about from a couple of locals in the nearby town. It wasn't on any map, just a secluded spot deep in the woods, the kind of place where you wouldn't find another soul for miles. The locals had described it as a fisherman's paradise. Clear waters, plenty of fish, and best of all, total seclusion. The drive up there was long and winding, the kind of road that twists and turns through dense forests where the trees arch over you like a tunnel. The sun was setting as we finally reached the lake, casting everything in a warm, golden glow. The lake was even more beautiful than I'd imagined, crystal clear with the last rays of sunlight sparkling on the surface. The water was so calm it looked like glass, reflecting the trees and the sky perfectly. We set up camp on a small clearing by the shore, our tent facing the water. There was a slight chill in the air, the first hint that summer was coming to an end, but the sky was clear, and the stars were already beginning to appear. It was the kind of night that made you feel glad to be alive, to be out in nature, away from the noise and stress of everyday life. After setting up camp, we decided to get in a bit of fishing before it got too dark. We pushed our small aluminum boat into the water, the soft splash of the oars breaking the silence. The lake was eerily quiet, no birds, no insects, just the sound of the water lapping gently against the sides of the boat. It was peaceful, but there was something almost unsettling about the silence, like the whole world was holding its breath. We rowed out to the middle of the lake where the water was deep and dark. The sun had fully set by then, and the only light came from the sliver of a moon hanging low in the sky and the faint glow of our lantern. We cast our lines, sitting in companionable silence, waiting for a bite. That's when we noticed him. At first, it was just a shadow on the shore, barely visible in the fading light. I thought it might have been a trick of the light, or maybe an animal moving through the trees. But then, as I looked closer, I realized it was a man. He was standing on the shore, motionless, just watching us. "Hey, Mark," I whispered, trying not to sound alarmed. "You see that guy over there?" Mark turned to look, squinting into the darkness. "Yeah, I see him. Weird. You think he's just another camper?" "I don't know," I replied, my voice low. "But I thought we were the only ones out here." Mark shrugged, trying to brush it off. "Maybe he's just a local. You know, checking out who's on his lake." We tried to ignore the man and focus on our fishing, but it was hard not to feel uneasy. Every time I glanced over at the shore, he was still there, standing perfectly still, just watching. He wasn't holding any fishing gear, no flashlight, nothing, just standing there in the dark. After a while, I couldn't take it anymore. "This is starting to creep me out," I said, my voice shaking slightly. "Why is he just standing there?" Mark nodded, his expression serious now. Yeah, it's weird. Maybe we should head back to camp. I didn't argue. We reeled in our lines, and I grabbed the oars, rowing us back to the shore. The whole time, I kept my eyes on the man, but he didn't move. He just kept watching us, his figure barely visible in the shadows. We reached the shore and quickly dragged the boat onto the bank. The man was still there, but now that we were closer, I could see him a little better. He was tall and thin, with long, unkempt hair and clothes that looked dirty and ragged. But what struck me most was his face. It was blank, emotionless, like he was in a trance. Mark and I exchanged a nervous glance, both of us thinking the same thing. This guy wasn't just another camper. There was something off about him, something that made the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. Let's just get back to the tent, I said, trying to keep my voice steady. We started walking back to our campsite, our footsteps quickening as we moved away from the lake. I glanced back over my shoulder, half expecting the man to be following us, but he was still there on the shore, watching us leave. We made it back to the tent, our nerves on edge. The fire we'd built earlier had burned down to embers, casting an eerie glow over the campsite. We didn't say much as we sat down, both of us too spooked to talk about what had just happened. The silence of the night seemed to press in on us, the only sound the occasional crackle of the dying fire. I couldn't shake the image of the man's face from my mind, the blank stare, the way he just stood there, unmoving. I tried to tell myself it was nothing, that he was just some strange local, but deep down I knew something wasn't right. We should have just asked him what he was doing, Mark said after a long silence, his voice strained. Maybe he's harmless, just weird. Maybe, I replied, though I didn't believe it. But what if he's not? We both knew the answer to that question. The isolation, the darkness, the fact that we were miles from the nearest town, it all added up to a feeling of vulnerability I'd never experienced before. We were alone out here, and if something went wrong, there was no one to help us. We tried to distract ourselves by cooking a quick dinner over the fire, but the tension in the air was palpable. Our eyes darting to the darkness beyond the firelight. It was as if the entire forest was holding its breath, waiting for something to happen. After dinner, we decided to turn in for the night, hoping that sleep would take the edge off our nerves. But as I lay there in the tent, staring up at the canvas ceiling, I couldn't shake the feeling that we were being watched. The wind picked up, rustling the trees and sending shivers down my spine. I listened intently, straining to hear anything out of the ordinary, but all I could hear was the wind and the soft lapping of the lake against the shore. Just as I was starting to drift off, I heard it, a soft rhythmic sound like something gently tapping against the side of the tent. My eyes snapped open, my heart pounding in my chest. I held my breath, listening, trying to convince myself that it was just the wind, but the sound came again, louder this time. Tap, tap, tap. I reached over and shook Mark awake, my hand trembling. Mark, wake up. Do you hear that? Mark groggily sat up, rubbing his eyes. Hear what? Before I could answer, the tapping came again, this time more insistent. We both froze, our eyes wide with fear. It was coming from the side of the tent, right next to where we were sleeping. Who's out there? Mark called out, his voice trembling. There was no response, just the wind and the faint rustle of leaves. Then, after a moment of silence, the tapping stopped. We sat there in the dark, holding our breath, waiting for something, anything, to happen. But the only sound was the wind. After what felt like an eternity, Mark grabbed the flashlight and slowly unzipped the tent, peeking outside. There was nothing there, just the trees swaying in the breeze and the faint glow of the moon on the lake. But as Mark shone the flashlight around the campsite, he caught a glimpse of something that made my blood run cold. Footprints. Fresh footprints, leading from the shore to the side of our tent and then back to the lake. The realization hit us like a punch to the gut. Someone had been outside our tent, watching us while we slept. We scrambled out of the tent, our fear driving us to pack up as quickly as possible. The thought of staying there, even for another minute, was unbearable. As we hastily packed our gear, I kept glancing toward the lake, half expecting to see the man standing there again, but the shoreline was empty, the water still and silent. It was as if he'd vanished into thin air. We didn't speak much as we packed up. Our movements were quick, driven by the overwhelming need to get out of there. The once serene and beautiful lake now felt like a place of danger, a place we needed to escape from as fast as possible. The drive back to town was tense, the silence in the truck heavy with fear. The road wound through the forest, the trees casting long, dark shadows in the moonlight. I kept glancing in the rearview mirror, half expecting to see headlights following us, but the road remained empty. It wasn't until we were back on the main highway, the lights of the town just visible in the distance, that I finally started to relax. The sense of relief was overwhelming, but the fear lingered, a nagging feeling that something wasn't right. We never talked about that night again. We both knew that whatever had happened on that lake, it wasn't something we wanted to relive. But the memory of that night has stayed with me. To this day, I still don't know who that man was or what he wanted. I don't know why he was watching us or why he followed us to our tent. But the fear I felt that night, the feeling of being watched, is something I'll never forget. And though I've tried to put it behind me, the memory of that man and the sight of those fresh footprints outside our tent still haunts me. Because sometimes in the middle of nowhere, you're not as alone as you think.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.